Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a paid program by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen, Timotheus. Good morning.
Good morning, great Scott.
Up for the whole day?
I certainly hope so.
Amen.
That's my plan.
Amen. Been up since 3, have you, this morning?
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
It starts tomorrow,
okay.
And then all next week.
All right.
Woo.
So we don't want to mess with you next week, do we?
Bring the toothpicks. From my list.
Maybe you'll bring break down next week and have a cup of coffee. You suppose?
No,
never.
No,
okay.
No, not going to happen, right. Scott.
Well, we'll be certainly praying for you that you stay wide awake next week.
For the whole week?
Yeah, absolutely. A highly trained broadcast professional like yourself, you have to be alert.
Well, let me sleep sometime.
Yeah.
So, I know what you mean.
So you're well today, and things are going well, and God is good. Still
all
on the throne all the time.
And God is good.
Amen. And folks might want to call and confirm or affirm us in that. They could do so at what? What
606-789-0318, 789-0318. Or if they're a little technical, maybe they like the technical side of things, or just don't want to talk on the radio.
Some people don't.
No, you've got another avenue, if you will, to get in touch with us.
Sure, you could email us.
Well, at godspointofview@yahoo.com.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have a couple of emails this morning.
Oh, boy.
One of them has to do with Jesus and Adam. The emailer says, are Jesus and Adam brothers?
the Bible
says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the first man was of the earth, earthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's Adam.
Yeah, earthy.
Earthy.
Yeah.
Made of the dust of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like to say men are clods.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, because we come from the dust of the ground. Now, guys, I say that tongue in cheek, jokingly, but we really are.
Yeah. I mean, we are if we admit it.
Yeah. So we're, or as we like to say at Highland sometimes in our Man God Uses classes, we're G-O-B's. We're gobs.
Gobs.
Good old boys. So the first man was of the earth, earthy. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, and that's Adam. The second man was the Lord from heaven. That's Jesus. Jesus and Adam were not brothers in the sense that we think of fleshly brothers or even spiritual brothers. Jesus is God.
Yeah.
When he came to earth, he was God in the flesh.
In the flesh.
And so they're not brothers in that sense. But in a sense, Jesus is our elder brother.
Now you're just confusing this.
Yeah, I really am. Because while he was 100% God, he was 100% man.
Yeah.
He was tempted in all points, like as we. Don't try to figure that out, Timotheus. You're not wired to figure that out.
No.
Neither am I. Neither is anybody else. We might ask God about that when we get to heaven, although I don't think it will matter much then. But they weren't brothers in the sense that we're brothers, fleshly brothers, or even spiritual brothers God, through Jesus, created all things. And so Adam was part of that creating process. If God made Adam, the question continues, part B, I suppose we could call it. If God made Adam and then he had Jesus by Mary.
Mm-hmm.
If God made Adam mm-hmm. and then he, is that referring, is that the antecedent, would that be the right word, Timotheus? Adam had Jesus by Mary, or God had Jesus by Mary?
I think God
does
had
Jesus. Does that make them brothers? They're, again, going back to the original answer, they're not brothers in the sense that a family has five kids and three of them are boys and they're brothers. No. No, they're not brothers. And really only because of the blood of Christ, we talked about this, I think, last week, flowed back
mm-hmm.
and cleansed all of those under the law and in the patriarchal dispensation who did the very best they could, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, mm-hmm. those individuals. They were cleansed by the blood of Christ. So I hope that clears that question up. Not brothers in the sense that we refer to him sometimes, we'll say he's our elder brother, and he is.
Uh-huh.
But he's our creator.
As well. Now, I want to back up a little bit because you may have lost somebody here when you said that Adam was the first man and Jesus was the second man. Now, because somebody out there, there's got to be somebody out there says, wait a minute, I don't understand. They're thinking men terms. Yeah. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob. But what did you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is he's using the two figures there, and he's using man as representatives. Adam represents humanity,
mm-hmm.
but the second man from heaven represents God. So the two men, one was earthy, one was heavenly, mm-hmm. and it took the heavenly to save the earthly. Yeah.
So we're talking about God, and God makes all of us.
He does.
But we're talking about something different, the beginning of humanity. And then Jesus is God himself in the flesh.
He came as the God-man.
So that's what you mean
that's
by
what I mean.
The two men.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a lot of guys in between there, you know.
It's been a lot of guys. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it may be somebody for the first time that doesn't have never heard of any of this.
Absolutely, sure.
And it's elementary to them. And that's what this program is for, Jerry.
Yeah.
I know we've got a lot of things to talk about. But when you have somebody that's maybe middle-aged that comes in, they've never been taught any of this. It's like Jethro Bodine trying to go to school.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to sound mean to anybody.
Yeah.
But it's just that we're ignorant of things we don't know. And everybody when you have younger people that know more than you do, we tend to shy away and back away from it. That's not going to do you any good.
No.
You're not going to get any help that way. So we want to make sure that we understand that what we're talking about, everybody understands.
Now we hope and pray that the old farmer said when he went out to feed the cattle.
Yeah.
He got some of the feed down to where the calves could get it. And most of us really need to be there anyway because this is tough stuff sometimes.
It can be tough stuff. Yeah. And you know me well. You know it has to be way low for me.
Yeah, you're really a low-down calf.
There's no doubt. I mean, I am the runt of the bunch.
Yeah, you opened the door there, brother. I had to walk in.
Hey, the truth is the truth.
Brother. It'll set you free.
That's right.
So here's the second question we have today.
Okay.
And it has to do with the question we talked about briefly last week. That is in light of the shooting of the Christians in Oregon.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. This was at the college.
Yeah, it says, I have a question. Here's the question. According to the news, he asked if they were Christians and told them to stand up, and then he shot them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my understanding of what happened as well, according to news reports.
Yeah.
And then the emailer says, my question is, was it their obligation to stand up for God?
You know, that is a good question. I mean, I think a lot of us know what the answer to that is, but it's a good question for somebody who's thinking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pivotal point.
Yeah. Was it their obligation to stand up for God?
Hmm.
If there were other people there that did not stand up but were Christians,
okay,
this is part two of the question, does that mean they denied God? And part three, do we have an obligation as Christians to stand up for God by the command of a deranged killer? And part four, and if we don't, does that condemn us in any way?
This is deep stuff, Scott.
Yeah. And that question was directed directly to you, Timotheus, so we'd like for you to respond to all of that. Wow, what a question.
I can tell you what I feel and what I think.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ went through more than we could ever imagine to go through. He right. stood up for us. He hung for us.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we for him?
Yeah. Okay, that's great.
But I know you've got to go a lot deeper than my
personal. Don't count on it. We may just go to another one here after that. Actually, the question wasn't directed to you specifically, but that's a great answer. It was actually, it wasn't directed toward anybody. It's just a question.
And the Bible does tell us that if we deny him, then he will deny us. But I can understand somebody's thinking, well, if I just don't say anything,
right?
You know, I didn't really deny him.
Yeah.
But are we really looking for a way out?
I think we need to be very cautious here. I don't think there is any of us who are Christians who want to believe that we would deny our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us as Christians haven't at times wondered, would I be willing to sacrifice my life for Christ? And I think because all of us have thought that way from time to time, and especially in recent years, there have been more Christians martyred in the 20th century than all the centuries put together. There are Christians now, and that tally has carried over into the 21st century, and we're seeing more and more deranged people, as that's the word the emailer used, and it's a good word to describe a lot of them. Deranged, and I think I'll add demonic to that.
Amen.
And so just how far are we supposed to go with someone like that? So I think this is a good question, and I'm going to try to give some perspective on it. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. I think he's telling us there that there's a principle about evil, and of course the higher point in Matthew 24, he's talking about the end of time. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He's talking about being prepared for eternity. The evil, the thief there on a higher spiritual level, that's certainly the devil, because the Bible tells us that he is a thief. The devil is a thief. He's a liar. He's a murderer. But there's a practical application here as well, and the practical application for us, and remember, Jesus always talked practicality.
Mm-hmm.
If he's talking to a group of housewives, he said, the kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. He's talking about baking there. If he's talking to some farmers, he'll say, as he does in Matthew 13, a sower went forth to sow. Every one of them understood that. So I think he's giving us a practical application here. What person listening today would not protect themselves against an intruder? What person listening today, a Christian or not, would not protect his family against someone trying to do them harm? I was told a number of years ago by an elder in the church, as a matter of fact, probably 40 years ago, that he was a pacifist. And that if someone broke into his home, that he would, in fact, do nothing to stop them. Even if, in fact, they were attempting to rape, to hurt in some way, to persecute, torture his wife or daughter, he would do nothing.
An elder told you that?
An elder in the church told me that. So I want to be clear. he prefaced the remark by saying he was a pacifist. A pacifist is someone who just is that. They are to pacify. They will pacify every situation they can. They don't want confrontation. A lot of pacifists wouldn't enter the military because they did not want a confrontation, militarily speaking. So a pacifist, and a lot of people, a lot of good Christians are pacifists. They believe that Christians should not take up arms.
We love everybody. Do no harm to your neighbor and those kinds of things.
And
we should do that.
We should do all of those things, but I don't think that equates with being a good Christian necessarily, because I am not a pacifist.
Yeah. No, that's one thing about you, Scott.
Let me go on record as saying I am not a pacifist.
I'll witness that one.
I believe that Jesus was telling us, of course, about spiritual things here, because this is the Bible, but he's also telling us to protect that which belongs to us, protect our property, protect our family members. And if I knew a thief was coming at such and such a time, I would be waiting.
Yeah.
And I would have a couple of friends there with me, Smith and Wesson, and maybe a couple of other friends, because I believe it's important that I protect what God has given me. Additionally, I think the Bible teaches us to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, to protect those, the widows and the orphans. And if I'm, if I'm going to take that literally, and I do, then I have a right not only to speak up, but to do those things that I believe will further their best interest, whether it's a financial contribution, whether it's a coat they're cold, whether it's, Jesus even talked about the necessity of being able to protect oneself, I think even more clearly. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, Jesus is about to be betrayed, and he tells the disciples after the meal, the supper, and the betrayal, before he goes to the Mount of Olives, Jesus tells the disciples, I'm going to begin reading about verse 31, maybe that's. That's a good place to start. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Now, his faith did fail, even though Jesus, the Son of God, prayed for him. He denied Jesus three times. He did not lose his salvation. Folks, we should not use as a standard what someone else does or does not do to determine someone else's salvation. I want to believe that I would stand no matter what, but I might not.
Yeah, in that instance.
Sure, you don't know what you're going to do.
When your family goes through your mind and those kinds of things. Yeah.
So, and I want to come back to that in just a moment. I think a lot of it has to do with preparedness. The problem, let me pause here just a second. The problem, pause with the reading, the problem in Oregon and all of these other places, the problem is that no one was prepared. The problem is all of those areas, if you go back and do some research on those, most of those, if not all of those shootings, were in gun-free zones. Now, I'm a big proponent of the Second Amendment. I believe in the Second Amendment, that I have a right to defend myself under the American Constitution. But I believe there's a higher power, and that power is God himself. And Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 22 and verse 32 now, we read verse 31, and Jesus says, Simon, Simon, I pray for that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. In other words, it's going to fail. Yeah. But when you turn back, you'll be strengthened by it. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. See, we want to believe we'll do that. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. You'll deny three times that you know me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? He's referring to the beginning of the ministry when they were on a limited commission, and they were just around their hometown. You know, they never traveled more than 200 miles away from home, and everybody was the same there, and everybody knew everybody. Everybody spoke Eastern Kentucky dialect. You know, it wasn't a strange dialect. And they said, no, Lord, nothing. We didn't lack a thing. Now listen to what he says. But now, if you have a purse, take it. In other words, before you were to rely on the people to support you. But he says, now take your wallet with you, put some money in it. Why? Because they're going on a worldwide commission. They're getting ready to take the gospel to all the world, to every creature, after Jesus' resurrection. Take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. So he's telling them here to prepare themselves. Did you know that oftentimes just the perception of being able to protect yourself will keep people at bay?
That's enough, yeah.
And so when we put up signs with this little, the gun and the circle and the light, red line through it, and we're saying, hey, we have no way to protect ourselves, come on in. That's exactly what these deranged, demonic, delusional, how's that for transliteration there? Deranged, demonic, and delusional people are doing. And this is why the Second Amendment must be upheld. In 1999, I came home one Wednesday night from church, and I sat down at the computer and checked the headlines. There was a shooting in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And it was about 10 minutes into the Wednesday night Bible study, and the pastor, of course, standing in the pulpit, everybody else seated facing him, noticed a lone figure came in the back door. He stood there for a moment, and the pastor thought, well, he's just looking for a place to sit. But he began walking down the aisle very slowly and reached into his pocket and pulled out a revolver. As he pulled out a revolver, he began loading it. Now, I'm not condemning anybody here except the gunman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not condemning the pastor. I'm not condemning the congregation. People react differently in certain situations. We're in shock sometimes, and that's why a lot of people don't respond.
Yeah,
who just sit still when some deranged guy says something to them.
Yeah.
They're in shock. So we need to be careful about making judgments. But here this guy comes, and people are watching him load this gun. He stops about halfway down, turns to the left, and kills his wife and three kids. And I wept. I thought of the responsibility that every pastor has.
Yeah.
And I made a vow to God and to myself, I will never stand by and do nothing. And so I did what I thought I should do, and I'm going to receive some criticism from this, and that's fine, folks. Feel free to criticize me. But I determined I would never stand by and allow someone to kill a member of the congregation, to kill some irate spouse to come in and kill his wife, someone to kill my wife, my kids, your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, what in the world can I do? Now, I'd owned a gun for years, but I'd never carried a gun. I decided I needed to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found out what needs to be done. I got a concealed carry permit. I am never unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, people make fun of the pistol packing preacher and all those kinds of things. We live in a different world today than we've ever lived in before.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is not Grandpappy's time.
It is not.
Yeah.
And so I realized that I cannot do this by myself, and so we developed a team at Highland, a security team, which is enforced every time we're there.
Every service.
And we've implemented things. We've brought people in to teach us how to do it better. We've invited churches in our community to come to special events in order to help them do the same thing. So what am I saying? I'm saying we're not going to create a situation where people can just do whatever they want to do. Now, we want to win souls, and we want people to go to heaven, but don't come to us if you are demonic, deranged, and delusional and want to kill somebody. We're not going to allow it.
Or if you want to challenge it, you're very well going to lose.
Sure, yeah. Sure, you're going to lose. And somebody listening thinking, I never heard a preacher talk like this. Well, first and foremost, I'm a child of God trying to make it through this world the best way I can.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm trying to lead a group of people as pastor.
And protect them
the best I can. That's what a shepherd does. He protects the sheep. And I'm trying my best to do that. And standing at someone's mercy. So back to the question. I'm in Oregon. The first thing I would do at that school and any other school is to have competent, qualified people there armed to make sure the bad guy doesn't win.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You do that in churches. You do that wherever there's a group of people gathered together. And I know I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail, get a lot of emails that are going to take issue with that. And that's fine. This is America. You can do that. But as for me and my house, we are proponents. We are proposing that every place where there's large gatherings of people be kept safe, not by putting a little sign on the door that says this is a gun-free zone, but by letting people know you don't want to come here trying to do us harm. You want to hear the Bible, you want to hear the truth, and I think I've shared the Bible verses with you that attest to that. So, 20 years ago, Timotheus, I would not have talked this way on the air.
Yeah, but this is not 20 years
ago. It's not 20 years ago.
See, if you have a man or a lady that loads a gun going to come and do somebody harm, a sign on the front door is not going to turn them away.
It will. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've had people to call us in the past because they didn't like something I said or they didn't like something that I encouraged some member to do. And they called us and they said, we're going to come down there and mess you guys up. And we just said, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Really think seriously about it before you do. We don't want trouble.
Yeah.
We want to live in peace. We believe God's people ought to live in peace. But I will not stand by. Now, judge me for it. If that's what you want to do, that's up to you. Yeah. I will not stand by and allow someone to be killed when I could have done something to stop it. I will not do that.
It's interesting to me that our current administration is all about, because that's the first thing you hear when these things happen, got to get rid of guns, we've got to make it tougher, got to do this and that. But when our leaders, our president is in the White House, and they do away with the guns for citizens, are they going to do away with them for the people protecting the White House too?
Well, of course not. And I think I showed you the headline recently when the Pope was here, and he was condemning Christians who have guns.
Yeah.
And yet all around him was Secret Service and the publisher of it put gun. There was like 9 or 10 guys with guns. And yet he's condemning the average citizen, like myself, you, anybody else, for protecting themselves. It is a right, a God-given right in the Bible and in the U.S. Constitution.
Now, back to the question with what you read about Peter denied Christ 3 times, and he didn't lose his salvation.
He did not.
That.
And those people that were there and did not stand up but were Christians, I don't think they're going to lose theirs either. I can't. You see, what I've said today is for me.
Yeah.
I can't apply that to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's me. That's what I'm called to be.
Yeah.
And you got to be what you're called to be.
And each person is different.
Each person is different.
And the Lord knows your heart.
He does.
So that's is a good way of summing that up.
And I think so.
It has been a spirit-filled
amen
show today. That's
amen.
For sure. Folks, if you'd want to come and be protected at services at the Highland Church of Christ, we'd like to invite you to services Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. for Sunday morning worship, 6 p.m. for Sunday evening worship, 7 p.m. for Wednesday evening worship, and don't forget about looking to Jesus, 7 a.m. right here at WSIP. We'd like to thank you again for listening, and to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ.